going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we discuss the NFL draft, nice win by the Phillies last night and a good bounce back last couple days because I was in a dark
Jordan
place.
Jordan Romano.
Yeah, Romano last night got a scoreless inning. Nola pitched excellent. We'll do more Phillies coming up in a little bit. I was in a dark place Friday, though, when they lost that game. And they bounced back. At least they got these two. And they come home to play the Nats tomorrow. So things feeling a little better in Phillies land. The NFL draft, the Eagles go defense early on. But they don't select Shedeur Sanders. As he fell, did you want the Eagles to take him? 215-592-9494. I didn't. Milroe was my guy. If we were taking a quarterback, that's who I wanted. And then they got McCord later. We'll talk about him. But if they were taking a quarterback somewhere in the middle of the draft or early, I wanted Milroe. That didn't happen. But as Shedeur fell, I mean, it was on my mind. We were all texting about it Saturday. Like, are they going to do this? And then it seems like they were going to. Browns jumped the Eagles. Did you want the Eagles to do it? 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to everyone's phone calls, let's hear some of what's out there about the Shedeur situation, why people think he fell. Todd McShay, who used to be with ESPN, now he does his own stuff on his own, and
he got the boot. I didn't know he gave.
Oh yeah, he's not at ESPN anymore, but he does a podcast and he's got his own.
Damn.
He's with The Ringer. But Hugh, he heard this story and put it out about the meeting between Shedeur and the Giants and what went wrong there. Here it is.
Shedeur didn't have a great interview with Brian Daboll in a private visit. An install package came in. The preparation wasn't there for it. Got called out on it. Didn't like that. Brian didn't appreciate him not liking it. I've said this before, and it started at the combine, and a couple days after the combine, I don't like saying report. Like, we don't report anything. I shared information that I got that I know if I'm getting it, that information people that are in this business that are really great at their job and talking to a lot of the same people I'm talking to and probably more. I know more. I was surprised it wasn't being talked about that Shedeur Sanders. I told you, if you've been following the show from the beginning, I told you there were two personnel people that I spoke to who were in the room during interviews, which means they're key parts of the organization. Let's leave it at that. Two teams drafting in the top 10 with quarterback needs where the interviews did not go well. Not disrespectful, nothing harsh. Just felt like the phrase I've been using, and I think it aptly describes it, we didn't get the sense that Shedeur cared all that much about what we thought of him.
So, Hugh, I'm of two minds on that story, okay? My first thought is, Shedeur's got to do better in interviews, right? If you want a job, you got to do better interviews. That's obvious. The second thing is, it's a bad look on the Giants to let that leak out. Like, you're just making him look bad. Like, if say you had a job interview with a boss, right? And you didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
The boss doesn't have to go tell everyone how bad you did. Just doesn't have to hire you. And the Giants obviously didn't want him. Whatever, they don't have to take him. It was weird to me that detail came out. It was almost like it was put out there on purpose.
Damage control.
Well, and to make everyone make it clear, we didn't take him because of this nonsense. It's weird.
This is how I see it. It's because at this point, you hear the undertones that are being thrown out there, the racial undertones. Let's just, I mean, here we're here. We might as well call it what it is, because that's what I saw this weekend. And now you're getting heat because people are asking why you didn't do this, that, or the third. So now you're trying to CYA and tell people. Now, to be fair, there's been a lot of guys that have been, you know, in those meeting rooms, and they haven't done this, that, or the third, and they still got drafted. That's a fact. Like, you've heard stories of leak wonderlicks and all that other stuff. I can't remember the quarterback who had a bad wonderlick test, but it was leaked.
I remember that stuff. Stroud. Didn't Stroud have a tough one?
Something like that. One of the quarterbacks, and it was leaked, but he still got drafted. That's why when you hear these certain stories, you got to kind of take them with a grain of salt. Like I've said, and I will keep saying this, this was the perfect storm. This was a culmination of a bunch of different things. And if you're just stuck in one camp or the other, you might be right, but it's not just that one thing.
It was Stroud. He got a very low score.
It was a whole bunch of different things, yep, man. And when, like I say, when you talk about attitude or arrogance, think about it like this, people. And I know a lot of people aren't going to want to admit this, but everything that you know about Shador, you were told by somebody else. And that's how you kind of automatically assumed he was this, that, or the third. Now, there are signs where he's arrogant. Like, somebody tried to show a picture. It was Danny Cannell. Threw up a picture where he was talking about how he was unkind to the ball boy. The ball boy was trying to snatch the ball from his brother. Now, I interpreted it as like, hey, he taking care of his brother. Like, what you doing? That's my brother. But a lot of other people looked at it and said, oh, that's the reason why he didn't get drafted. Mm. But like I said, I could show you video of other quarterbacks that I compared him to that were playing that did the similar thing. Baker Mayfield was planting flags on other teams' home turf, and nobody said anything about that. He's a gamesman.
I think you said it well in the beginning. It wasn't one thing. Because
it was a bunch of different things.
Right, and they added up. And then obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if some teams just didn't like him. I mean, they didn't want him, and they moved on.
And it's something to be said. Now, I will say this about that quarterback position. There's something to be said because we've seen Gruden do it all when he had his quarterback camp.
Yep.
You come into that room knowing that John Gruden is probably one of the most premier offensive coordinators in the game. You're a little bit humble behind that. Now, Brian Daboll, dog, seriously? Like, you mad? Like, he probably saw your offense from what you ran from a year ago and was looking like, I mean, I get it. You're still supposed to respect him because he's a, you know.
Well, you're trying to it's a job interview.
Yeah, and I said that tongue-in-cheek because you still have to. You have to present well.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready for the meeting, then that's a red flag right there.
Of course it is.
It's a red flag.
215-592-9494. Look, all this is part of the story that happened this week. And Shedeur Sanders fell into the fifth round of the draft. Did you want the Eagles to take him? Now, also part of it is there may be some red flags or whatever you want to call it or issues. But if you think the guy is pretty good and he falls to a certain level, maybe there's just value there. I think that's probably what the Eagles were thinking, why they almost took him, according to a rap sheet. All right, let's hear Deion Sanders, though, because this was part of it, too, Hugh. It wasn't just the player. It was how much is the dad part of this. Here's Deion. When was this, back early in the spring during the process here? Deion Sanders on his son and his draft stock.
Have you told him privately who you would like for him to play for?
It's not like who I would like for him to play for. It's a couple teams that I won't allow him to play for. This is my profession. I know what's behind the curtain. We ain't got to get back there for me to understand what's not prominent for my son. I'm not doing it.
Hugh, I think Deion's presence has helped his son over the years. Like, he's here partly because of who his dad is, right? Like, helped him at Jackson State and in Colorado. That didn't help him. I mean, I don't see how that could have helped him when he said that out loud, because if I'm one of those teams that Deion says I don't want him to play for, well, then there's only 32 teams. You know what I mean? Like, you start taking away even one or two, you're cutting his chances off.
Yeah, there's something.
It's not good.
There is something to that. But I commend Deion for being in his son's life the way they did. There's only been two examples that I've seen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Where, you know, the father has been in their son's lives, and it has been perceived as being a little bit over the top. It's been LeVar Ball, and it was Deion.
LeVar Ball had a run.
Yeah, he had a run, but his one son, was it LaMelo, is doing well. All three of them got drafted, by the way. And one of them's a rapper, and the other two are playing in the NBA, I think. One of them's in the NBA. For
Lonzo definitely. Got hurt.
Yeah, he played for the Bulls, right?
Yes, LaMelo's a good player for Charlotte.
So it's like, when you talk to people, and when I talk to people that I know, and you see that you have two fathers that are in their sons' lives be treated this way, it makes you look at it and wonder what's going on. Because you and another example, because, again, not race baiting, but I don't have too many examples to go off of. Eli Manning and Archie. Archie got it his son, and there was a clip that they showed the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Where Archie, like, they told San Diego not to draft him.
Well, they said he wouldn't play there.
He's not playing there. Yeah. But
John Elway did the same thing.
Yeah, but because his dad didn't want it to look bad on the weekend. They sat there and they held the jersey. They did all the pomp and pageantry. But at the end of the day, he didn't go there. Now, and I know that some people in the car talking about where Eli was in a different. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing as far as the father being a part of his son's life. Now, I know Deion is over the top. He is. And his son is the same way. But to have a talent like this is where the question needs to be answered for me. To have a talent like that, drop that far, what was it? Like, be honest. That's all I need to know is, honestly, he should at least been a second round draft pick.
It
maybe
seems
third.
Like that.
He should, like, tell me why he failed so far.
So I to use your example, I'll go back to the phones here. I think Deion misread it. And you bring up a very fair point. The Archie thing wasn't that different, right? It's almost
it's not.
But they knew, I think they knew, he was going to be a top five pick no matter what. I think Deion thought he could say what he wanted to say and try to guide his son somewhere, and it wouldn't matter. But obviously, this one wasn't the same, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like, do you have the cards in poker? The Mannings, the Elway had the cards. Shador didn't have the cards. Like, Deion, I think that hurt him, unfortunately.
And this is the thing, Joe, that happens every year when it comes to quarterbacks. You get a grade during your college year where, you know, we saw Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, that class. Remember when they came out?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I think it was Sam was the consensus favorite at the point, at the end of the season. And then as they start to sit down with these kids and they find out about them, then things start to change because they get to know them. Now they're taking them to the lab and they're dissecting their game. Now, I was told by somebody that I trust that Shador wasn't as polished as they wanted him to be. Now, I heard that. Like, I heard that from more than one person.
Which and that's out there, which means that's probably true.
That's probably true. Yeah. So you got that coupled with the arrogance that he's displayed. We're not going to deny that. And his father being who he is. And a lot of people probably felt like, you know, he's a decent player, but not decent enough that I have to deal with that media
circus. Exactly. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Aaron in Mount Airy talking Shador. What's up, Aaron?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Aaron, what are you thinking?
I didn't, like I was telling Kyle, didn't care to draft Shador. This is what I'm pushing back on. This is all I'm pushing back on. When people say, I just don't think he's that good. So explain to me, someone who let the in college football completion percentage, but you're willing, Joe, to take Jalen Monroe, who cannot throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
We already dealt with that with Jalen Hurts. And he's still not that great throwing football. Is that where we're at right now when it comes to quarterbacks? I don't care if you can throw that well, as long as you can run. I thought throwing the football is the number one skill for quarterbacks. That's my thought.
So for me, Aaron, you got to have a special skill. And Milroe has one. I don't know if he's going to become any good. I mean, maybe he ends up like Justin Fields and he's kind of up and down. Maybe he ends up like Lamar Jackson. I don't know. But he's got a special skill.
He'll never be Lamar Jackson.
Well,
Lamar Jackson was a great college football quarterback.
Sure. I'm just saying there's a scale of with that skill set where he could become. As far as Shador goes, I just don't think there's anything special about his game. I don't think he's bad. Like, he could
accuracy,
be.
Joe.
Yeah. Aaron, but you mentioned his stats. Football. You mentioned his stats. His stats are eerily similar to Gardner Minshew in college. They're like the same player to me. They're
well, we can point that out with a lot of middle and quarterbacks.
Right, but what I mean is accurate, not a big arm, good college stats. Like Aaron, I think he could become Gardner Minshew, and I'm not trying to knock him. Like, I think right now he would take Gardner Minshew's career, considering he was just a fifth round pick. Like, I think he could bounce around, be a starter here and there. That's all. Like, so, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't need a Gardner Minshew.
This is how I'm framing it, right? Everyone's saying, well, the people who don't like him because of who he is or because of that is, you can't speak to people like that. Throughout the whole season, we all knew he was going to the draft. No one said a word about anything. Everyone knew who his dad was. He didn't just get adopted. And everyone knew how he was. Like, this was no secret. And Cam Ward didn't throw the combine either.
Right.
So he Cam Ward also.
And a lot of quarterbacks these days don't throw, yeah.
Yeah, only the quarterbacks who need to put their stock in. Because Shador Sam, I honestly believe, no later than the second round pick. Based on, because people, they mock the mock draft. Like, well, they don't know what they're talking about. They talk to these people. And that's how they formulate where they think people are going to be slotted.
So what do you think happened here? What's your theory?
And I don't care these sweat, but I'm just pointing out the nonsense that's being spewed. It's all football politics. Listen. I would put it like this. You know what I'm talking about. In the black community, right, when we feel your energies off, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, we match your energy. So we don't know how people were coming at him during these interviews because they may have already had a perceived notion about him. So they had a little – they were being very bristly with him. He's like, hold up. I can give her back to y'all. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
What the kids call it now, code switching. Code switching. Yeah, that's what
it's called. But here's the thing. In life, you have to code switch. But some people are like, you know what? I'm going to keep it real 24/7. But that's not how you should operate through life. So we don't know what went through. We don't know what went on in the interview. And I don't care if he slipped. I'm just pushing back against, like, when I watched him play, because they showed enough football, he could throw the football. And I've railed against Jalen Hurts since he's in Alabama. I was like, the dude cannot throw the football. He's gotten better. I don't care if you can throw the football. Does he have a great arm? No, but he played in Colorado.
Sure.
And it's funny. People are saying, oh, I don't want him playing in the Meadowlands. But you're aware, but he's okay to play in Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh is colder than the Meadowlands.
Well, that is true. Aaron, did you want him as he slipped for the Eagles?
No. You know why I didn't want him?
Why?
Because I care about the Eagles. I don't care about Shador Sanders, and we're going to talk about him every day. So that's why I didn't want him. But I just want people to keep it real. Just like, just keep it real about the situation. We know what happened. The football politics went into play. But he's okay. He's not hurt for money. He's coming from
Oh, yeah. In life, he'll be fine. And look, maybe he'll make it. And Aaron, we appreciate the phone call. As far as how good he is or was, I'm not a scout. I'm a fan. That's all I got for you. All I see is when I watched him, he was obviously productive, Hugh. But I didn't see anything special about his game. He doesn't run much. He takes a lot of sacks. He throws a pretty ball. He is accurate. But, like, in terms of getting better in the NFL, he brought up Jalen Hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jalen had toughness, running ability, leadership, he checked all those boxes. And his arm was good, but it was, like, they had to refine his mechanics. But you could see, like, how, like, it was very clear to me how Jalen could get better. If he worked on his mechanics and became more accurate, there was something there. With Shador, I'm not sure how much better he's going to get.
Let me ask you this. And I'm going to ask you this too, Kyle. With what, I don't know how much college football either one of you guys have watched, but given what we know about Shador and his dink and dunk style of play.
Yeah, right.
Could he be compared to a Brock Purdy? Similar.
Well,
skill
maybe,
set.
Yeah. Physically. Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft.
Yes. And he.
And with that.
Go ahead, you finish.
No, but with that being said, He should have probably went a little bit higher than
for
he
sure
did.
than
you know what
Mr.
I mean, and that's where I think because see that's where people are upset. Like I don't know what Shador would have been in the NFL as a quarterback, but I do know that quarterbacks are in high demand.
Well, maybe we'll look back at this a mistake too. Purdy should have been higher.
It might have been.
I mean, in retrospect, Purdy should have been a first rounder in that draft.
And we've seen people reach for quarterbacks, especially that position.
Yeah.
And people want to justify the thing about he didn't do this, that, and the third. But he was a quarterback in college. And he won games. And that's a position that is at an absolute premium in the NFL?
I think I would just say this, because if you tell me that their best attribute in college is accuracy, that could be a little bit tricky in terms of like how it translates to the NFL.
NFL game.
Because
yeah.
you do have like the dink and dunk aspect to it. But also, we use this phrase all the time, like NFL open mm-hmm. as opposed to college open. Like there are some throws that you probably get away with in college that you're probably not getting away with in the NFL. Definitely.
He also had, the last couple of years, the best athlete in college football to throw passes to Travis Hunter. Right? I don't know what teams thought of him deep down. Obviously, he got picked in the fifth round. But maybe someone could say his stats, and then someone watched the tape and say, well, he threw a jump ball, and Travis Hunter, you know, he grabbed it because he's the best player.
And here's another unfortunate thing about the situation with the Browns. He's not going to get the coaching that them other cats get. It's almost going to be impossible.
Well, you brought up Purdy. Purdy got to go to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
Right? Like, he had a loaded team around him.
Yes.
Then Garoppolo got hurt and Lance got hurt, and he had Shanahan calling the plays.
He had a guy that was willing to work with him.
Yeah.
It's just going to Cleveland and being the fifth pick at that in an already crowded quarterback room. You got like five quarterbacks
in
there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
what's
Jeff.
Going on,
what's
Jeff?
Up?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of reasons why this guy fell. But for me, if I'm an NFL GM, I wouldn't have picked him only because I don't want the father hanging over my head all the time. Like, as a former coach, like coaching youth sports, there's nothing worse than having a kid that has talent and their parent is on your butt all the time because their kid is this and their kid is that. Like, I know this. I know it's way bigger than that here in the NFL, but to me, that was the thing. Like, and first of all, why do we need him? Why would the Eagles take him?
Well, they did Now, Jeff, I didn't want him either. I wanted Milroe. But to be fair, the Eagles did draft a quarterback, right? They drafted McCord.
I understand that. But that guy flies under the radar. Shedeur Sanders is. He's in right in the middle of the race.
I know he's a magnet. He's a magnet for attention. I mean that's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Eagles A need it or do they want it? Why would you want that? We won the Super Bowl, and we had a great draft to begin with. Why would we bring that that energy to the team? It's unwanted, and it's kind of par for the course that you know. Yeah, Howie Manziel was Johnny Manziel was drafted. You know, and he was a wild card. And of course, you know, the Browns taking off.
I know. It's the Browns again. That is ironic, Hugh, that it's the Browns again.
Well, I look at it like this, Jeff and Joe. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are an organization that Shedeur would be the story for like a day because he's here. And then it would just be another day. It would be another day at the office. Like,
I don't know, Hugh.
You don't think so? I don't think Shedeur's antics would have moved the meter like that. We would have talked about him, no question about it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been nothing for the Eagles.
So
I don't think.
I think the Eagles could have handled it, but you know, Hugh, there are some people that are magnets for this. I mean, like they're totally different, but Tim Tebow was not much of an NFL player. He was a magnet for attention.
Yeah. And
right? Like everyone talked about him even when he didn't play. He was a backup.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I would worry that wouldn't happen, what you just said, Hugh. Like, it would only last for a day. I would be worried that it would go on and on and on and on. And that's my main reason. What did everybody collude to not take him? I don't know. And if they did, I don't think it was there was maybe racial undertones. We can't deny that. I mean, look at our country. It's kind of the way things go sometimes.
Man, it's just a shame that no matter what we talk about, that's the line that's always the dividing line.
Well, people think that. Whether it's, I don't know if it's true. Yeah. I don't know what happened. We appreciate the call, Jeff. So, Hugh, the Deion thing is interesting because I do wonder how many coaches, you mentioned Kellen Moore. I bet there's a lot of coaches, younger or not established coaches, that look
intimidated.
They didn't want Deion, or not just Deion chiming in, Deion taking their job in a year. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's a lot of coaches, maybe the Andys, the McVays, they don't worry about that, right? Shanahan, like, Deion's not taking their job. But, like, if you're a young coach who hasn't done anything,
he's not going there, but I, like a Ben Johnson or somebody like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, you're like, do I got to deal with this?
Well, like Brian Daboll.
That's the one.
You're dead right. Of course.
And knowing that they needed a quarterback, the whole wearing the Giants cleats and stuff like that, yeah.
And he wanted to go there.
Yeah, he did.
We think he did. 215-592-9494. More of your phone calls coming up. As Shedeur Sanders fell on the draft, Did you want the Eagles to take him? I mean, there was a real possibility there heading into Saturday that he was going to be an Eagle. Did you want him here? We'll get to some audio from a few people coming up who are very high on Shadur coming out of this draft, including one of the better coaches in the NFL right now, a guy that's name fits in more with the Reeds and the Harbaughs of the world than he does with the Brian Dables. He liked him a lot. 215-592-9499 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make the heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you could even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.